Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Glad you're with us. We've got a lot going on. We're going to talk some Ball State football. We're going to talk some racing, Pacers. A lot coming up. We're going to talk a little Indy 11 soccer right now, though. A lot going on in this weekend. A busy, busy weekend. We turn it over to the star of our show, Network Indiana's Brad Huber.
This Indiana Sports Talk. QualitySupplyAndTool.com.
Good evening, Coach. Good evening, everybody. A very busy night across the state of Indianapolis. Two big stories. The Indiana Pacers playing the Milwaukee Bucks today. Pacers led by as much as 19 points in this game. Milwaukee, led by Chris Middleton, battled back. He had 42 points. Let's go late into the game in overtime as it was tied at 115-115. Mark Boyle. How the Pacers break the tie.
Halliburton drives, pulls up left of the lane. Siakam takes it, top of the circle. Back to Halliburton, four to shoot. In the lane to the corner, Nesmith beat the shot clock. And the crowd tells you the result as Nesmith buries a three right in front of the Milwaukee bench. Indiana by three with 14 and 4/10 seconds to play. That was C-O-L-D-blooded.
The Pacers struggled to shoot the basketball in this game, and that kind of broke that. And then next possession for Milwaukee, Chris Middleton.
Indiana by three, Milwaukee trying to force an overtime. Halliburton will challenge the Beverly inbound. David Guthrie gives the ball to Patrick Beverly, and here we go. Beverly looking to get it in. He lobs it to the top. Lopez has it. Middleton with it. 4 seconds to go. Middleton unloads and hits a three from the right side near the hash mark. The good news is that the Pacers have 1 4/10 seconds.
That was at the end of regulation, so my apologies there. Chris Middleton tied it. That forced overtime. Then Nesmith hit that three to make it 118-115. Chris Middleton hit another three with 6.8 seconds left to tie it at 118-118. And then here is Mark Boyle describe how the game will finish.
And Nembhard will take the ball from Ed Malloy. Over on that far side hash, he flips it into the backcourt. Halliburton runs it down. He'll cross the timeline with five. Moving to his right with four. He's in the lane. The floater from the foul line. Pound it. And put him on the line. Nicely done, employee number zero. The floater from the foul line with 1 6/10 seconds to play. Halliburton with a chance to make it a three-point game.
And he did. He made the free throw. Milwaukee had a shot to force double overtime. No good. The Pacers win 121-118 in overtime to take a 2-1 lead in the best-of-seven series. Game four Sunday night against Milwaukee. Gamebridge Fieldhouse at 7 p.m. Tyrese Halliburton a triple-double in that game. The other big story, the NFL draft. Last night, the Colts selected Leiatu Latu, defensive end out of UCLA. Today, they traded down from 46 to 52. And with the Carolina Panthers, and here's who the Colts selected at number 52 in the second round.
With the 52nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas. Let's do it.
That was the second pick. The Pacers will have one at number 82, or the Colts will have one at number 82 as well. Rick Venturi from the Colts Radio Network describes that pick of Mitchell.
I think he's a very complete receiver. I think he's a guy that if he plays a snap inside, he's physical. But if he plays a snap outside, he can flat fly. I've seen him take a short ball and yak with it.
Right, right.
So, I mean, to me, you know, it's almost surprising. And you asked the question. You brought up the perfect question. Why does he make to the second round? That I can't stamp, you know. And I'm very confident. I'm very confident in Chris Ballard in this regard. Okay. He is very, very meticulous when it comes to football character. So he's not going to bring a guy in here that doesn't have good football character.
It's a knucklehead, right?
Yeah, he's probably a guy that has a little prima donna in him as a transfer, so he's got to be really coached. But I think our staff does that. I'm not worried about that at all on offense.
Boltzwell, one more pick at number 82 in the third round. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
But today's economy is challenging. Have you fallen behind on your mortgage payments? Many homeowners facing financial difficulty often feel...
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. In the midst of all of the NFL draft, the Pacers and racing, talk a little college football. Ball State's Mike New joins me. Coach, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you doing? I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, you know I love you. You know that for 30 years now, you know that. But listen, the easy question here is, how did the spring workouts go?
You know, the most important thing is we got a lot of work in and really made it through injury-free, which you always get excited about at the end. So a lot of snaps for a lot of young guys, which, you know, I really look forward to spring for that because, you know, that's a real meaning. That's the, you know, first time for those guys to really get meaningful snaps. And so a lot of good work in for 15 practices, and now it's on to the next step.
Yeah, the next step is to live in the weight room and get bigger and stronger and faster.
That's exactly right. So, yes, right.
It's the cycle. It's, you know, yeah. Yeah. Mike, it's the cycle of life. You got to live in the weight room. And if you don't, your best friend's a strength and conditioning coach.
That's exactly right. So making sure that, you know, once spring's over, finish the semester strong academically, and then summer workouts, man, you get a lot, you know, all your time is devoted to, you know, getting bigger, faster, stronger in the weight room and preparing yourself for, you know, the fall. And that process goes faster, it seems like, each and every year. But you're right. Yeah. You know, it's, you got to be best friends with a strength coach if you really want to have a chance to develop and have a chance to, you know, play a lot of snaps during your college career.
All right, so before we talk about your team, let's talk about the Mid-American Conference. They have done away with East and West divisions. How does that impact you and your guys?
You know, hey, it's now it's just the wide open race. The top two teams, you know, make it to the MAC championship game. And so, you know, it really, the importance of each and every week making sure that you're playing winning football and you're putting yourself in a position to win each and every week, especially when you get to conference play. It's critical because, you know, you're not competing with just the teams in the West anymore. Now it's from top to bottom. That's the way it was when I was at Ball State back in the day as a player. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, one conference with 12 teams and you know, you had one winner. So every week will be even more important now because, you know, if you want to have a chance to qualify for that MAC championship game, we'll have to take care of business each and every week.
So obviously it puts the importance on winning each game. Any other big changes you think you might have to make to be able to adjust to this?
Well, just from an opponent standpoint, this will be the first time since I've been here that we will not have Toledo. We will not have Eastern Michigan on the schedule. You're used to having those two teams on your schedule every year. Now they've moved to a pod system where you have three teams in your pod. Yes, we still have, you know, our rivalry games with Northern Illinois, with Miami, but it'll be a little unique that way. So obviously it's something that obviously I support that decision. It'll be exciting, and you know, obviously I like the changeup. You know, it'll be fun to you know, to get, you know, where you're competing, and every single week it could certainly change the outlook of what the conference is going to look like at the end of the year, you know, based on the results each and every week.
Mm-hmm. Mike New with us. We're talking Ball State football. All right, Mike, coming out of spring ball, what is it you saw that you need? You really need to focus on when you start your summer workouts?
Yeah, well, I think more than anything, you know, still some of your team is not quite taken shape yet, if you will. Now we're in the world with the transfer portal. So, you know, obviously we had to brace ourselves. I had to brace myself for the end of spring. Once I had individual meetings with every one of our players, who could we potentially lose to the transfer portal? And then, you know, once you find that, you know, once you go through that process, then you got to attack what our needs are. You know, where do we really feel like, okay, some of the younger players might not be ready to go yet. So how can we go attack the transfer portal, for lack of a better word, and find a free agent, you know, from somewhere that has some game experience that we can bring in and you know, have them be a part of our program. So that's the process we're going through right now. I do feel like, you know, it's nice. I always start in the trenches. You know, we're going to have four returning offensive linemen that started for us last year. It'll be nice to have those four guys back. You know, obviously on the defensive line, we already added a couple of key pieces that have been great additions way back in January. But we're still, you know, obviously going through that right now. But I think, you know, your team really nowadays doesn't really come together, and you don't have all the pieces in place until you start to get to, you know, summer workouts, which, you know, that starts for us on May 19th. You know, once we get the whole team back together after, you know, summer or after the spring semester, after they have a little bit of a break that way. So we're just attacking it one day at a time here. We got about half of our staff is in the building, you know, visiting with portal players that we're bringing to town. And then half our staff is on the road recruiting high school players during the spring recruiting period.
Hey, Mike, I need you to hang on through this scoreboard update. Can you do that?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll come back, talk with Mike New from Ball State on Indiana Sports Talk.
We talked about the Pacers winning 121-118 tonight to take a 2-1 lead over the Milwaukee Bucks in the game four on Sunday. We are just, oh, the Colts just traded up to number 79. So the Colts just traded up from 82 to 79. They're on the clock as we speak, so we'll get to that probably in the next update. So they drafted Leatu Latu last night, defensive end at UCLA. Adonai Mitchell, a wide receiver out of Texas, at number 52 in round two. The Colts are now on the clock at number 79. Other games around the state, minor league baseball, the Great Lakes Loons lead the Fort Wayne Tin Caps 5-1. That's in the bottom of the seventh. The South Bend Cubs scored 6 runs in the sixth. They lead the Quad City River Bandits 7-4 in the eighth inning. And how about the opportunity for the Purdue baseball team to play at Wrigley Field tonight in Chicago against the Northwestern Wildcats? Purdue leads 7-2 in the bottom of the eighth. College baseball, the Ball State Cardinals fall at number 24, North Carolina State, 10-2. Seton Hall beat Butler, 7-3. Evansville over Missouri State, 4-1. Indiana, the Hoosiers over Rutgers, 8-3. Indiana State is upset tonight by Southern Illinois, 3-2. Number 8, Wake Forest beat Notre Dame, 4-3. And Wright State beat Purdue Fort Wayne 5-1. UIndy was all over Truman 14-1. Hanover beat Earlham 7-6. Manchester beat Mount St. Joseph's 10-8. And Alma got the best of Trine 5-4. Roosevelt swept IU South Bend in the doubleheader. Indiana Tech swept Cornerstone. Indiana Wesleyan Spring Arbor. Indiana Wesleyan swept that one. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Before the scoreboard update, we were talking with Mike New, the football coach at Ball State University. They open up their season coming up very, very soon. Coach, it'll be here September 7 against Missouri State. Does that seem like it's right around the corner?
It really does. You know, it always goes so fast. You know, you go into the offseason, you lay out your calendar, what you want to get back, the work that goes into it. But it's hard to believe a little over 4 months from now. We'll be opening up on September 7th, and hard to believe that it's the 100th season for Ball State football, which is pretty awesome.
That is awesome, and I'm sure you have, your marketing folks have a lot of events around that 100 years. That's an incredible accomplishment, quite frankly.
You know, it really is, and obviously it's exciting to be a part of that, to be here as a head coach for the 100th season. And, you know, I've been very thankful over the years. You know, there's for the 6 championships that have been won at Ball State. I've been there for half of those, and, you know, there would be no better way to celebrate a 100th season than to be able to deliver a MAC championship. And our team's hard at work, and we got a lot of guys that in our locker room that believe that, you know, we can attack it one day at a time and go get that done.
All right, who are the guys? Let's start on the offensive side. The guys that have to step up and become leaders who already are, but are your key guys on the offensive side of this football team?
Yeah, if you look, our tight end, Tanner Cozio, who 2 years ago was an All-American, and obviously for a split second there in January, we thought we were going to lose him in the transfer portal, but thankfully he made the decision to come back. He's been awesome this spring. I mentioned that most of our experience comes up front. We return four starters on the offensive line. You know, Ethan Crow has been a great leader for us, former Center Grove a high school great, you know, Damon Kaler from Huntington, Indiana. He's you know, returns again. Both those guys are in their last year. They've been great leaders for our program. But, you know, our quarterback, Caden Semenza, played in four games as a true freshman a year ago. He had a great spring, excited about what's next for him. And we've been able to surround him with some great weapons at the wide receiver position. And, you know, Ty Robinson, who, you know, transferred our program a year ago from Colorado. He had a great first two games before an injury sidelined him for the rest of the year. And we had a great addition in the offseason with a big receiver, a 6'5 receiver, Justin Bullock from Eastern Illinois, who had a great spring. And then defensively, you know, one of our captains or one of our leaders, you know, we will have had a lot of turnover from last year's defense to this year's defense, but Keontae Newsom, mm-hmm. You know, our middle linebacker there is, you know, a great leader for our program. He's been with us for several years now and has taken a lot of pride in how we do things and trying to do it the right way. And, you know, Brandon Berger, who's, you know, played at Roncalli, is really going to have a chance to step mm-hmm. into a significant role this year after being extremely patient and playing, being a great role player. And we had a transfer from University of Indianapolis, Justin Thomas, great pass rusher that, you know, super twitchy guy that, you know, done a great job this spring as well. And so we got some guys that we're excited right. about that have really, you know, done a great job of, you know, really taking this team so far, establishing an identity with what we're going to be all about as we head into the summer and, you know, really, you know, the rest of our team coming together, if you will, this summer and getting ourselves ready to go attack it this fall.
Mike, you mentioned the portal. I think everybody understands that it's here. You know, I'm not in the coaching biz anymore. I mean, I spent 22 years coaching college basketball. I think I understand recruiting, but I don't understand what you guys go through on a day-to-day basis. And it's got to be frustrating in some ways, clearly challenging every day, because it seems like your roster could, quite frankly, turn over in a matter of days.
You know, it really is. Each and every year you're going to have a new team. Doesn't matter whether you're in football, whether you're in basketball, whatever sport yeah. you're in right now, you're really going to have a new team. You're going to have to establish a new identity. But at the same time, every other team in the Mid-American Conference, they've got the same problem as well. So there's no need to complain about it. You just got to figure it out. And so to me,
right.
we all accept the challenge in our building, like, hey, how fast then we get a new group of guys on the same page. And, you know, I'm very appreciative. Our strength and conditioning staff is incredible. But that's really the challenge now. You know, some of the guys in the portal, there's that portion of the guys that are simply just looking for money. How, you know, it's all about the NIL money.
Sure.
How much can I get? There's some guys that when you have a discussion with them, they're just simply looking for an opportunity. Man, I want to have a chance to prove I can play, you know, at the mm-hmm. FBS level, whether FCS guys, Division II, Division III. So, you know, we just really are very selective in which guys we want to attack bringing into our program, because still value character, still value doing things the right way. We want to bring in high character guys that are all about work. And, you know, we've had several guys over the years and, you know, that have had one Division I offer, and they've had great careers during their time at Ball State. You know, in the case of Danny Penner, you know, he had one Division I
yeah.
offer. He had a great career at Ball State, gets drafted by the Colts. He's, you know, going into year number five. So really selective on our end, just making sure that, you know, the things that you value and just doing things the right way, doing, you know, treating people with respect, treating people how you want to be treated. We got to make sure that we bring the right young men into our program that still have those qualities that we're looking for to go be successful.
Do you simplify your playbook? Do you have to simplify your playbook because you don't have guys, you know, who are growing with one another and have been in the program for multiple years? I would assume you have to make big changes in terms of the amount of stuff, the amount of information you can give these kids.
Yeah, Bob, that's a great point. You have to. It forces your hand as a coach. You got to be great at the basics first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, mm-hmm. maybe there are some years where you know, in this case, we have a little bit more experience coming back offensively. But you have to absolutely make sure that what can we hang our hat on? What can we be really good at coming out of spring practice? What is the strength of ours offensively, defensively, special teams? And then you got to build on that. You got to be really good at the simple things, and you got to go out and you got to execute at a high level. So it really forces your hand, like, you know, some of the ideas, some of the things that, you know, you always, you know, study in the off season, you self-scout yourself, what things can we do better, but at the same
right.
time, you got to make sure you start each and every year, start the spring, really to some degree all over again from square one.
Mike New is the football coach at Ball State University. The Cardinals open up their season September the 7th against Missouri State. Got some road games at Miami, James Madison, and Vanderbilt, hosting Western Michigan on October 5th for Community and Family Weekend. And, Mike, it's always great to catch up with you. I wish you nothing but the best. Whatever you need from me, you know, all you have to do is call. And thank you for taking time.
Well, Bob, it's great to hear your voice, man. I really appreciate you having me on. Keep up the great work. It's hard to believe it's been 30 years ago, but I really appreciate your friendship, and keep doing a great job.
I appreciate it, Mike. Take care.
Okay, take care.
Thanks a lot. Mike New, football coach at Ball State. And for those of you who've listened to the show for 30 years, when we first went on the air, Coach New had just graduated from Ball State, and he worked for our show for a couple of months and kind of, you know, that transition time, and just a fun guy to be around. It was easy to see that great things were going to happen to him. And so I'm honored to call him a friend. I'm honored that he still thinks enough of us to be with us on the show, and clearly, well, I wish him nothing but the best. Coming up, we have a lot to talk about. Now, we're going to try to talk a little Pacers basketball. Big win. They take a 2-1 lead in their series with Milwaukee. Overtime win at Gainbridge Fieldhouse tonight. Also, we're going to talk some racing. And talking about the Indy 11, they've got a match tomorrow night at Michael A. Carroll Stadium on the campus of IUPUI. We'll talk with their head coach when we come back. Well, we'll talk to him a little bit later on tonight. So we got plenty, I mean plenty, to talk about. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
As I alluded to in my last update, the Indianapolis Colts traded up from 82 to 79. And with that pick, they selected Matt Goncalves, a 6'6", 330-pound offensive tackle out of Pittsburgh. So the Colts now have a defensive end in Leiatu Latu last night, a Donae Mitchell wide receiver out of Texas, and now Matt Goncalves out of Pittsburgh. With that trade, the Pacers traded to Arizona their sixth pick, which is number 191 tomorrow. So barring any more trades, the Colts will have 117 in the fourth round, 142, 151, and 155 in the fifth round, and 234 in the seventh round tomorrow. So we'll keep you updated if the Colts may indeed trade up and get back into the third round before this night is over. IndyCar at Barber Motorsports Park, the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix. After a very interesting week, Joseph Newgarden was the fastest in practice today. Pato O'Ward was second, Will Power was third, Colton Herta was fourth, and Christian Lundgaard was fifth. They will qualify at 3:30 tomorrow and practice tomorrow at 12:15 as well. What happened was Joseph Newgarden was disqualified from the season opening race at St. Pete because of an illegal use of the push to pass. So that gave the win to Pato O'Ward back in March. That results changed this week. So very interesting week in IndyCar racing. Up at Wrigley Field, the Purdue Boilermakers looking good, leading Northwestern 7-3. That is in the top of the ninth, and the Fort Wayne Tin Caps trail Great Lakes 5-3 in the eighth. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Pacers in overtime, 121-118 over the Bucks. With me from Bally Sports and in the Indiana Pacers, our good friend Jeremiah Johnson. Have you come down from the high with this huge win tonight?
You know, Bob, a 5:30 tip, I thought I'd be home at a decent hour. It feels like any other game. When you have an overtime game, and I mean, I don't know how long it was from start to finish, but We also, I think we had our longest postgame show of the season. And
yeah.
For good reason. It was a night to remember. I said for those in attendance, they won't forget. But really, anyone watching it, you won't forget. That was playoff basketball at its best. And guys were worn out, but they kept fighting. And guys on both teams hit some really big shots. From a Pacers perspective, they were the last one to score, and they won.
The huge guys were hitting huge shots on both ends. It's one of those games where I'm in one room in our palatial estate here in Franklin. My wife is at the opposite end of the house, and she comes into the room I'm in and goes, "Why, who are you yelling at?" And I said, "I'm yelling at the television screen. I'm yelling." And here's no. This is a true story. I'm yelling at the screen. I'm yelling. I'm yelling at Tyrese Halliburton. I'm yelling at him for passing the ball so much. I'm yelling at him to take the ball to the rim, which he does to win the game. And I appreciate his willingness to be a passer and all of that. But, brother, they need you to step up and go to the rim and make some things happen.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that there have been some games in the last month where maybe he's not feeling quite as confident as you saw at other points of the season with the outside shots. So he's been trying to drive, and
right,
his passing game is still top notch. I mean, he had 10 assists averaging in the first two games, and I understand what you're saying, but the Bucks have also made it a point for much of this series to double and to get the ball out of his hands. So you don't want to just force things, but I do agree with you. There were some times where they were passing up some good shots, and then they were forced to shoot at the end of the shot clock, which are rarely ideal situations. Mm-hmm. So I won't disagree with what you were saying. I wasn't screaming at anyone. I was trying to keep my composure in case my microphone came on. But I was sort of inside feeling the same thing as you. But, again, that passion and that back and forth, I was thinking 2 minutes left in regulation. I was like, whoever wins, this is going to be a fantastic win. Whoever loses, it's going to be excruciating, and it's just nice to be on the right side of it.
And the nice thing, in addition to the manner in which they win, you liked what they did defensively down the stretch. You know, they were, you know, they got some crucial stops when they needed to, except at the end of regulation or, you know, with the times when Middleton's knocking down shots, that 20 guys could have guarded him, and I still think he would have managed to find a way to knock it down.
I know. I'm curious your take on this with your coaching background. You know, you maybe didn't have to decide whether to foul up three back in your day, but it's something that they think about now and they talk about. And Rick Carlisle addressed that they're, at least the first one, especially when there was more time on the clock, that there's a situation in place, and you just want to be careful. A guy, if Middleton or Damian Lillard have it, they're so good at feeling that contact and immediately going into the shooting motion.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to foul a shooter. That's the last thing you want to do. And especially the first one that Middleton made, I thought when they got Brook Lopez kind of dribbling and not looking at the basket, okay, well, they're not going to get a good look. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Middleton gets it with a free look. So it's easy to say, hey, foul, make sure they're dribbling, make sure they're not shooting, and then we'll get the rebound. But again, one time this year, the Pacers did that against the Bulls, and it backfired where – they made the first, missed the second, got the rebound, got the basket, and went to overtime. Mm-hmm. So there's no perfect way. I do think with the right time score situation, they would like to foul. It just didn't really happen perfectly. And, again, I agree with you. There might have been three guys guarding Middleton, and he might have made those. With those two plays removed, there were a lot of good stops. And there were a lot of good rebounds. And that's been a bugaboo, I think, for the Pacers at times, is allowing second chance opportunities. And it was actually the Pacers crashing the offensive glass, getting the second chance points that proved to be the difference. And again, that was nice to see a little bit of a role reversal there.
You know, the most important player on the floor, it appeared, you know, at the end, you're talking about offensive rebounding, was Nembhard. Nembhard had what? He had six offensive rebounds in the overtime.
Well,
I mean, six extra chances for his team, and he's the smallest guy on the court.
Yeah, I mean, the box score is misleading. I looked down during the postgame show, and I felt the same as you. He got credited with only three offensive rebounds. I mean, I felt like I saw five in overtime alone, and there was one possession where the Pacers had five offensive rebounds, and they had six shots, and they missed them all. And it was the point where if you make any of those, it's going to be such a lift it'd be demoralizing for the Bucks. And then you worry, well, you had all those chances and you didn't capitalize. Maybe it's not going to be your night. So this game was won and then lost and then won and then lost and eventually won. And you still needed to get one last stop against Middleton. And he had a look from the corner on a pretty good execution play, but it would have been a high degree of difficulty shot. And it missed, and then the crowd, whatever energy they had left, they then celebrated one last time.
You know what? And then, you know, watching the broadcast for the national guys, I didn't realize it's been as long as it's been since they won a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, they were swept in the bubble series. They were swept in the last series before COVID against the Boston Celtics. So we were saying, you know, it was the first home playoff game in almost 5 years. It was a game four against the Celtics in 2019. Yeah. And then you got to go back to 2018, the last time the Pacers won a playoff game, and they won on the home court. And that was in game six in a competitive seven game series lost to LeBron James and the Cavaliers. So I remember that kind of like it was yesterday. And again, even after losing that series and then losing to the Celtics, you were so used to the playoffs that you took it for granted a little bit. And now, after not having been the last three seasons, you appreciate it even more, and you appreciate a night like this to be able to let all those fans that cheer for you and watch you for 82 games to have a moment and a memory. And I know a lot of them made a memory tonight.
Oh, it's probably one of the more fun nights that you guys have had and fans we've all had watching that unfold. Sunday at Milwaukee, and we're still assuming that Giannis is not in action on Sunday, correct?
Well, just to clarify, though, it is a Gainbridge Fieldhouse on Sunday. So,
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Games 1 and 2 were in Milwaukee. Games 3 and 4
right
at Indiana. More of a normal start time. It's a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock, and I don't know when we'll know for sure. They made a declaration at noon today that Giannis was out. He was listed as doubtful. So at some point tomorrow, they'll put an injury report out. And not sure whether, you know, they'll practice. They'll probably practice. And you'll know a lot by whether he practices tomorrow. I was kind of thinking throughout this series, his availability would be on a need basis. And once
right
the Pacers go up 2-1, the Bucks,
I think they need him.
Yeah. If he's available or if he's able, they need him. Now, he hasn't really had a full practice, so he might not be able yet, but we'll have to wait and see.
He is the man. It's Jeremiah Johnson, Valley Sports, and the Indiana Pacers. Sunday at Gainbridge, game number 3. Game number 4. 121-118 in overtime. Was fun. We'll do this again next week. Jeremiah, thanks for being with me.
All right, sounds good. Hope everyone has a good weekend, and we'll get back at it Sunday night.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much, Jeremiah. All right, coming up, we're going to talk some baseball with Steve Craw from IndianaRBI.com. The man knows more. He's forgotten more about baseball in our state than I have. And so it's just it's that time of year. We got baseball, we got basketball, we have it all. This is a fun time of year. So we're going to talk a little baseball coming up. Steve, let's just go ahead and talk. We'll start out with Steve. Steve Craw, are you with me? Hey, Steve. Steve, hold on. Okay, we'll come back to you. I can't look at a clock. I can't tell time. Part of the problem. We'll be back. We got a scoreboard update coming up. Then we'll come back, talk with Steve Craw, talk a little baseball on Indiana Sports Talk.
At the top of the hour, we'll get back to Pacers playoffs and the Colts draft, but let's talk some college baseball across the state. NAIA baseball, a high-scoring affair in Game 1. Roosevelt got the best of Indiana South Bend, 17-15. Roosevelt went on to win Game 2, 12-1. Cornerstone and Indiana Tech. Indiana Tech swept Cornerstone today, 10-4 and 8-7. Indiana West Lane swept Spring Arbor, 8-2 in Game 1, 3-2 in Game number 2. The RSC baseball basketball tournament for IUPUC. They fell to West Virginia Tech 10-4, and then Mount Vernon and St. Francis. That doubleheader was a split. St. Francis winning game 1, 3-2. Mount Vernon of Nazarene 4-2 in game number 2. Division 3, Alma got the best of Trine 5-4. Manchester beat Mount St. Joseph's 10-8. In an in-state battle, Hanover beat Earlham 7-6. Division 2, the Greyhounds of UIndy had no issues with Truman 14-1 today. UIC beat Valpo 8-6 earlier today. Wright State beat Purdue Fort Wayne 5-1. Currently going on at Wrigley Field in Chicago. How cool is this? The Purdue Boilermakers leading Northwestern 9-3 at Wrigley Field in the bottom of the ninth inning. Wake Forest beat Notre Dame 4-3. Southern Illinois upset Indiana State 3-2. The Hoosiers beat Rutgers 8-3 in Bloomington today. Evansville winners at home over Missouri State 4-1. Butler losing at home to Seton Hall 7-3. And number 24. North Carolina State beating Ball State 10-2. South Bend Cubs beating Quad Cities today 7-4 with 6 runs in the 6th. And the Fort Wayne Tin Caps trailing 5-3 in the 8th. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Steve Craw from IndianaRBI.com joins me, the man who understands and knows more about high school baseball in our state than anybody else. Steve, it's great to talk to you. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. I got a chuckle earlier seeing you yelling at the TV.
I'm telling you. The old coach in me.
You have one of those foam bricks that you can throw at every once in a while.
You know, well, no, but that's a good idea. No, it's just the old coach in me came out. It comes out occasionally. It's not pretty, but you know how it is. Did you get out and see some ball today, or did the weather cooperate?
Well, I got about 2/3 of the way there in the rain. And I got a message, no game. So I was going to see 3A number 2 or 3A number 3 New Prairie at La Porte. And I was really looking forward to that, but weather didn't cooperate.
All right, so let's start right now. Number ones, go through for me top teams in each class. I'm looking at the 1A, Bar Reeve, Clay City, Lafayette Central Catholic, Tecumseh, North Davies, the top five. Tell me about these teams.
Well, Lafayette Central Catholic dogpiled last year, which they've done 9 times. Mm-hmm. I think. They're a perennial. Bar Reeve has been to the state finals quite a bit. North Davies has put itself in that discussion now, which is kind of cool. That's a different name. Westdale, Shackamack hasn't won as many titles, but they've had as much tournament success, you know, mm-hmm. as any, considering all the sectional regional summit states they've had. So that's big. And then the bottom five teams in the top 10 are Couts, Northwest Indiana, North Decatur, Borden, Fort Wayne, Blackhawk, Christian. They're year in, year out. They're really good. And Tri-County.
All right, 2A, some familiar names, quite frankly. You know, Forest Park, Providence, Shenandoah, LaPel, Park Tudor, Mitchell, Rochester, Hagerstown, Cascade, Ileana Christian. Tell me what your thoughts about the 2A.
Well, 2A, Hagerstown's number one this week, and Forest Park is two. Ileana Christian is going to try to win 3 state straight titles this year, and they're number mm-hmm. 3. And I've been hearing a lot of good things about them, so they're legit again. North Posey, Triton Central, Mitchell, you mentioned, Park Tudor, Evansville, Modern Day, Seeger, Cascade—that makes up the rest of the top 10. Those are all very good teams.
Steve Craw with us, IndianaRBI.com. You got some time now. Let's talk quickly about 3A. You mentioned you were going to go see somebody play there. Were you going to go watch Andrean?
Well, no. It was Andrean plays at Penn tomorrow if the weather allows.
Ah. Right. And, New Prairie is the team you're going to play.
I might go to that game. That's tomorrow afternoon, so we'll see about that. I was going to cover the game, New Prairie, and I saw New Prairie lose to South Bend at John Adams a couple of weeks ago, and that was a very good game. And but New Prairie is very good 3A. So Andrean, you know, we've known how much success they've had. Fishkers, their head coach, has won over 1,000 games. Garen Catholic is right there between them and the Cougars of New Prairie. Bishop Chittard, Princeton, Hanover Central, South Bend St. Joe, who I hope to see play here pretty soon. I might see them tomorrow, too, if the wet stuff stays away. Lawrenceburg, Western, they're good year in, year out. Rebuff was raising the trophy a couple of years ago. They're the top. That's the top 10.
All right, Steve, I need you to hang on through this short break. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Perfect. Steve Kroll and I will come back, talk about high school baseball on Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Before the break, we were talking with Steve Kroll from IndianaRBI.com, talking about high school baseball. All right, Steve, I'm looking at 4A. This is a loaded class, is it not?
Absolutely. Center Grove is number one. Carmel, who had been number one, I think, preseason, and I saw him beat sweep a doubleheader at Penn a couple of weeks ago. They're number two. Noblesville, I was watching them online tonight a little bit. They beat Westfield 8-4 at the Dunk tonight, and they're number three. Floyd Central, McCutcheon. McCutcheon, I think, is last I looked, they were unbeaten. Mooresville is number six. Columbus North. Evansville and Columbus North beat Cathedral 3-2 tonight. And Evansville North, Westfield, like I said, they played Noblesville tonight. Just to think those are neighbors, and those teams are beating up on each other in Hamilton County. And then there's Valparaiso is the number 10 team this week.
Man, it just seems like there's great balance in all four classes. Am I misreading this?
I don't think you are. There's good teams up and down the line. Because of the success factor, teams get bumped around a little bit. I mean, people when Andrean or Eliana Christian fell right on the line, so they didn't have to. You know, the way that the rotation worked, they didn't move up like they would have if they would have won a year earlier or a year later. So
interesting. All right, Steve, we're going to do this next weekend, if you don't mind. And we got to, you know, got to give love to the baseball in our state. And be safe if you get out on the road tomorrow. Be safe, okay? Steve Kroll from IndianaRBI.com. Steve, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
You're certainly welcome.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Thank you very much, Steve. Coming up, we got top of the hour scoreboard update. And next hour, it's been a jam-packed night, to be honest. Next hour, we're going to be talking more. We're going to talk some soccer and some racing. We'll also talk about the NFL draft. We'll update you as we have throughout the scoreboard updates. We'll kind of give you an idea of what happened with the Colts and their choices. Filled some needs. Everybody's excited, as they should be. We'll spend some time not only tonight but tomorrow. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night for our Saturday night show. We're going to talk racing. Matt Taylor from the Colts will join us. Adam Alexander from Fox Sports 1. Mark James from the NTT series. He's the voice of the 500. All of that plus some baseball. That's all tomorrow night, but we still have a lot of time left. We're going to talk some more. We're going to talk minor league baseball, talk about the Colts in the draft, talk some soccer. This is Indiana Sports Talk.